In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
15. 23. 53. 85. 70. Mega Ball 7. That was Friday. I didn't stay up long enough last night to watch this other one. Mega Millions jackpot explodes to record 1.6 billion after no winner in latest drawing. Well, believe it or not, I've never purchased a lottery ticket. I would imagine, however, that the higher the jackpot, the more tickets are sold. The subject is money. It was money last Sunday, it's money this Sunday. Money itself is not the problem, of course. The Bible says it is the love of money. The love of money, the trust in money, that is a root of every evil. When there's a problem, we often say, follow the money. Well, last week we heard of a rich young man who went away disheartened, Mark says. When Jesus answered his question, what must I do to inherit eternal life, saying, go sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. The problem, again, wasn't the great riches in themselves, but it is the question of love and trust in them. We're about halfway through Mark's gospel. We're about to cut it off at this time of year because the rest of the story is carefully told in the Lord's half of the church year. So from here on, Jesus proceeds to his goal, the cross and tomb of death for the life of the world. We're called to follow Jesus and put all our trust in him because eternal life is a free gift of God and not something that can be gained by our works. So today it is as if Jesus wants to just slam the door one final time on works righteousness. Get it out of your system. The fundamental preparation for emptying ourselves to receive God's grace. After the young man departed, Mark tells us Jesus turned. And he looked around at his disciples. And he said, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Wealth. Notice he doesn't put a Mega Millions dollar amount on that. We all have wealth of some kind. The issue is made clearer in the next line included in some of the older manuscripts. Children, he says, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. Again, the issue is not the wealth, but in what, or shall we say, in whom do you trust? Mark tells us the disciples were amazed and exceedingly astonished at these words. Why? Once again, the fact that we, for some reason, equate salvation with the result of our own worthiness of it, for it, of our works, is so deeply ingrained in our fallen, sinful, stupid nature, keeps hanging on regardless of whether we know better or not. In contemplating what's going on here, after 3 years of teaching his disciples, and especially Simon Peter as their leader, I can imagine a bruise on Jesus' forehead, gradually growing. How often did the disciples not understand what he was saying? And Peter, remember when Jesus invited him to walk to him on the water, but Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and almost drowned? I wonder if just before reaching down to grab him, whether out of exasperation with him, didn't first slap his forehead. And again, the time when Jesus began to teach them how he must go to Jerusalem and be killed, Peter ignorantly said, "This will never happen to you, Lord." Wake up, Pete. You're not thinking God's thoughts. So here, how does Peter react to the thought that it will be difficult or impossible for rich people to enter the kingdom of God? "Hey, see, we've left everything and followed you. Good for us, don't you think?" Realizing the hold on wealth and possessions had on them and on all people, the disciples finally became exasperated themselves and drew the bottom line conclusion. Then who can be saved? Finally, it is when we become that empty, when all we can do is give up, that we have come to that threshold of the door of repentance. Emptying ourselves of our works in order to be filled by God's grace. To that, Jesus uses Peter's own words to promise not only that eternal life in heaven is in your future, it is in your possession now. Eternal life is that fear, love, and trust in God that we learn about, first of all, in the little catechism. Eternal life begins now, relying only on faith in God's word and his work. As the apostle says elsewhere, not that we will someday be complete, which is true. But he says, we are, even now, we are God's workmanship. He hasn't given up on you. He's still at work. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. This is the kingdom of God operating in you. The only difference is that, of course, we're not there yet. And it is still possible, Jesus concludes, to lose God's gift. And that's what he means when he says, "But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Not just your place in line, everybody in line. Worse than that, the many who were once in the kingdom may find themselves excluded out of it. Yet many who have neglected or ignored God's call today may still find themselves included if there's another today, because of God's gift of faith worked in them through God's word. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So, put away every temptation to find any worthiness in yourself, your own piety, your own good works, and let all that flow from God's gifts of grace to you. Look to Jesus, the author of Hebrews says, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Go. Sell all you have. That is, put your trust in Jesus alone, and you will have eternal life, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.